Pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers has introduced people all over the world to the love of Jesus Christ and has impacted untold numbers of lives by presenting profound truth simply stated. Thanks for joining us for this message. Here's Adrian Rogers.
John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Today I want to talk to you on this subject, how to love as Jesus loves. Now I want you, before I begin the message, to think of someone in your heart and in your mind. Someone who has done you wrong. Someone who has disappointed you. Perhaps someone who has failed you. Perhaps someone who has abused or misused you. Perhaps someone who has betrayed you. If you will think, you can think of that person or persons. It may be a son or a daughter. It may be a brother or a sister. It may be a father or a mother. It may be your boss. It may be your neighbor. It may be somebody in the church, but somebody who has failed you, misused you, abused you, harmed you, disappointed you, or maybe betrayed you. Do you have that person in mind? You say, I can't think of anyone. You're a rare individual. Maybe you're just kidding yourself. Do you have that person in mind? Now I want to talk to you today about how to deal with that individual. How to love as Jesus loved. What I read to you in John chapter 13, verse 34 is the last commandment that Jesus Christ gave before His arrest, before His trial, and before His crucifixion. He called it a new commandment. Well, why is it a new commandment? Love is not new. The Old Testament taught us to love. What is new about this is this. The new part is Jesus said you to love as I have loved you. Never before has this world known love like the love that Jesus Christ showed and the love that Jesus Christ gave. And that is what made it radically new. Now, not only did Jesus Christ give the commandment, but Jesus Christ, through His life, demonstrated the commandment, you are to love one another as I have loved you. A well-known psychiatrist recently said that the greatest need of mankind is to love and to be loved. Think about that. The greatest need that mankind has is to love and to be loved. Many years ago, there was a song that said, it's love that makes the world go round. Well, we know that's not true, but someone else has said, it sure does make the trip worthwhile. Love. True love. And yet, we live in a generation that love is passing us by so quickly. It's getting harder to love today than ever before. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in the last days, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Abounding lawlessness, abating love. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What does that mean? People today are frightened. Lawlessness. The word iniquity means lawlessness. And lawlessness abounds. On our streets, people are being shot down in cold blood and senselessly killed. Killed for nothing. There is murder and rape and arson and pillage and hatred and brutality on every hand. And what does that cause people to do? It causes us to be suspicious, doesn't it? It causes us to retreat. It causes the men to say to the wife, do not open the door, no matter who knocks on it, unless you know who they are. It says if a person stops by the side of the road and they look like they're in trouble, be very, very careful before you stop to help them. If somebody comes and says, will you show me the way to a certain place to a boy and girl? We say, Don't go with them. Don't go. Don't help. Don't get involved. Keep your doors shut. Don't become a part of this situation or that situation. We tend to what? Withdraw. We stop loving. Why? Because lawlessness, iniquity abounds. And the love of many waxes cold, and we're frightened and intimidated and afraid to love. And especially, we have no desire to love those who are so lawless, those who are so wicked, those who are so vile. And yet, just before his arrest and crucifixion, again, Jesus Christ gave a commandment that he called a new commandment. You're to love one another as I have loved you. And that person that I ask you to think about is the person I want to tell you how to love today. You're to love that person as Jesus Christ loves. It's going to be extremely hard. And it may not be somebody who has done you violently wrong. It may be the person maybe that you're married to. Maybe one of your children. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Now, Jesus, the great teacher, was the great example giver. And so you're in John chapter 13, and I want you to see the context in which the Lord Jesus Christ gave this commandment. John chapter 13, go back now, if you will, to verse 1. And now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, here's the love that he was talking about in verse 34, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, I think most of us who've been studying the Bible for a while know something of the background of this example. Foot washing was a custom in Bible times. And in every home, especially the homes of the rich, there would be a basin by the door. And when you would come in for a dinner or a visit or whatever, if it were a wealthy home, that home had domestic help, it had a servant, when you came to the door, you would slip your feet out of your shoes, out of your sandals, and there was no pavement in that day, or very little pavement, just dusty roads. Your feet would be dusty even if you'd bathed before you'd gone out to dinner. You would slip your feet out of your sandals, and there would be a slave there. The mark of a slave was that he would wear an apron girded about him, called a towel, like a towel, and he would kneel down, take your sandals, and there would be a basin of refreshing water, and he would put your foot into that water, and then with his hands, he would wash your feet, wash all the dust off, and then massage your feet. That feels good, doesn't it? I mean, just to think about it feels good. He would massage your feet, maybe with some sweet ointment or perfume or something. Now, Jesus is with his disciples, and nobody else seems to be doing this. And so the Bible says that Jesus girds himself. He lays aside his garments. He puts on the slave's garment, the towel, girds himself with a towel. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, begins to do slave labor. And he washes the feet, the smelly feet of fishermen. Jesus does that. And then later on he says, I've given you a commandment. As I have loved you, you are to love one another. And I remind you that among those whose feet Jesus washed was Judas, the one who would betray him to death and plant that slimy kiss upon the sacred brow or cheek of our Lord Jesus Christ, a kiss that would burn like a coal from hell. And yet Jesus washed Judas' feet. Jesus washed the feet of Simon Peter, the big fisherman. And Jesus, knowing that Simon Peter would betray him and deny him, washed his feet. Washed the feet of Thomas, the doubter. He just simply washed all of their feet. I want to tell you how to love as Jesus loved. What kind of love was His love? First of all, I want you to consider that His love was a very selfless love. Now notice what it says here in verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands. That is, He's the master of the universes. He rules over everything, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, that He was come from God, and that He was going to God. He knew His heavenly origin. He knew His heavenly destination. He knew His authority, His power. He knew it all. See the contrast here. It was this one who washed the disciples' feet. What a contrast to the way the disciples had been that same evening. Now, you don't find it here in John chapter 13, but in Luke chapter 22, listen to it. And there was also a strife among them, that is, among the disciples. Who should be accounted the greatest? They were saying, I'm greater than you are. No, I'm greater than you are. I'm more important than you are. No, I'm more important than you are. Now, Jesus hears them bickering about who's going to be the greatest. And He said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is the greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as him that doth serve. Here was the love of the Lord Jesus Christ illustrating all of this. The Lord of glory is at he's doing slave labor. Look in verse 4. The Bible says He laid aside His garment. He's not preoccupied with Himself. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus when He came from heaven, laying aside His glory. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus self-emptying. Put this verse in your margin, Philippians 2, verses 5 through and following. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That is, it literally means a thing to be grasped. He didn't have to reach out to be equal with God. As Satan said, I will be like the Most High. Jesus never had to say that because He is like the Most High. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. He laid aside His robe of glory. He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. Now, do you see what is illustrated here when Jesus laid aside the garment and took a towel, the form of a servant? He's just acting all of this out. He's just demonstrating all of this. He made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ washed His disciples' feet on the way to the cross. Now, who was this that was washing the disciples' feet that night? It was the one who had come from God, who was going to God. That was the one who laid aside His garment and took the slave garment. It was the one who had come from sovereignty to slavery. You see, the devil became the devil by saying, I will ascend. Jesus is our Lord because He said, I will descend. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, He laid aside His rights, but He never set aside His deity. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When a man ever says, I know my rights, you can be certain he's walking far away from the Lord if he's talking about his earthly rights. Jesus laid all of that aside, and Jesus took the form of a servant. The Bible says He made Himself of no reputation. Do you know what most of us are doing? We are fighting for our reputation. And we talk about how we went from nothing to something. How many evangelists are there who have a testimony something like this, from the prison to the pulpit? How I went from ignominious shame to where I am today. The Lord Jesus didn't talk about how He had gone from lowliness to highness. As a matter of fact, our Lord had come from highness to lowliness. May I show you what humility is? It's easier to show than it is to describe. Look again in verses 3 and 4. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, laid aside His garments, and took a towel and girded Himself. Now that is a picture of humility. You see, real humility is not thinking lowly of yourself. If you were to stand before me and just say, "Oh, I'm no good. I am worthless. I don't have any talent. I don't have any ability." You might think you're being humble, but I think you're full of rotten pride. Thank you. Humility is not going around saying, "I'm not this, I'm not that." Jesus knew that He came from God. Jesus knew that He was going to God. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things into His hands. That was the man that washed His disciples' feet. Friend, that is humility. That is humility. You see, real humility is not thinking lowly of yourself. It is not thinking of yourself. That is humility. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Self-acceptance is not pride. Self-acceptance is the cure for pride. So many times when we say, "Oh, I'm no good," we're wanting somebody else to say what? "Oh, yes, you are." We're just setting ourselves up for a double compliment, you know. Jesus knew who He was. But Jesus, knowing that He came from God, and was going to God, was willing to serve. And my dear friend, what was true of Jesus in a very real sense is true of you. Now, while Jesus came from God, I am born of God and I am going to God. You're not looking at a piece of junk up here. You're looking at a piece of redeemed humanity. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I have come from God because I am a creature created in the image of God and redeemed by the blood of Christ, and I'm going to God, and you're looking at a man who will spend all eternity with the Father. The Bible never tells us to go running ourselves down. To the contrary, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, "For I say by the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." That's what the devil tried to do. "But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." What does that mean? The grace of God exalts a man without inflating him, and it humbles a man without debasing him. That's what the grace of God does. That's so wonderful. I am what I am by the grace of God. That's what Paul said. He didn't say, "I am not what I am by the grace of God." I am what I am by the grace of God. Jesus, knowing that He came from God, Jesus, knowing that He was going to God, Jesus, knowing that the Father had put everything into His hands, that was the one who laid aside His garments, took a towel, and washed fishermen's feet. That's so important. You see, that's true humility. And that is true love. Pride, on the other hand, drives wedges. Humility always builds bridges of love. And if you're to love as Jesus loves, your love is to be a selfless love. Some years ago, I walked through about 5 steps with you, and I want to walk through them with you right now and tell you how to build bridges between other people. Remember, pride drives wedges, love builds bridges. Here are the 5 steps. Number 1, God accepts me. We call that grace. Have you got it? Grace. What is grace? Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God accepts me. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, "I am made accepted in the beloved." God accepts me. Not because I'm sinless, not because I'm good, not because I'm worthy, but because He loves me. God accepts me I'm a recipient of God's acceptance. That's grace. Secondly, I accept that God accepts me. God accepts me. He did that on the cross when Christ died for me. I accept that God accepts me. That's faith. Grace, faith. God accepts me. That's grace. I accept that God accepts me. That's faith. Faith is my acceptance of God's acceptance of me. Have you got it? Faith is my acceptance of God's acceptance of me. I love Him because He first loved me. Faith is my acceptance of God's acceptance of me. So, what do you have? Grace. God accepts me. Secondly, faith. I accept that God accepts me. Thirdly, peace. Now I accept me. Now I accept me. If God accepts me, then I accept me. Have you ever accepted you? Have you ever really accepted you? Just come at peace with yourself? You see, not only do you have peace with God, but you have the peace of God. Accept yourself. Is it all right to love you? Of course it is. God loves you. Can't you love what God loves? You say, I've always been told you're not supposed to love yourself. Well, where'd you ever get that? The Bible teaches you that you're to love me as you love yourself. And if you don't love yourself, how can you love me? Matter of fact, if you don't love yourself, you're dangerous. And there are a lot of people who are dangerous because they do not love themselves. Their life is meaningless, and that's the reason they waste other people's lives. They don't know the value of love. They don't know the value of their life. Grace. God accepts me. Faith. I accept that God accepts me. Peace. I accept me because I've accepted that God has accepted me. I begin to love myself. I don't mean selfish love. That's not true love anyway. I don't mean you stand in front of the mirror and sing how great thou art. Do that, you're sick. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about that you love what God loves and God loves you. When you do that, that's peace. Now next, I now, because I have accepted me, I can accept you. I can accept you. Why? Because I know that God loves me. I don't have to use you, abuse you, mishandle you, manipulate you, twist you, lie to you, con you, deceive you, lord it over you, put you down, impress you. Why? I know who I am. I know that I've come from God. I know that I'm going to God. I know who I am. Therefore, I can accept you. I don't have to manipulate you. I don't have to one-up you all the time. I'm at rest. And so now I can love you just as Jesus loved these disciples, knowing that He'd come from God and was going to God. Grace, faith, peace, love. Grace, God accepts me. Faith, I accept that He accepts me. Peace, I accept me. Love, I accept you. Last, fellowship. Now you're free to accept me. For the first time, I've become something that is rather than being a wedge driver, I've become a bridge builder. And that's koinonia. The Bible word koinonia, sharing the same life, or fellowship, just put it that way. So what do you have? Here it is. Grace, faith, peace, love, fellowship. See? That's Jesus accepted who He was. He knew who He was. Jesus did not think lowly of Himself. He just didn't think of Himself. It's not that Jesus didn't love Himself. He did love Himself. And He loves you. And you can love what God loves. I'm not talking about a selfish love, but a selfless love. There's nothing so empty as a self-centered life. But there's nothing so centered as a self-emptied life. Jesus, knowing that He came from God, that He was going to God, took a towel and girded Himself. He just humbled Himself. So it is selfless love. Second thing, His love was not only a selfless love, it was a steadfast love. Look in verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. The Greek word eistelos, to the end. It means he just kept on loving to the consummation. He never stops loving. I remind you that Jesus washed his disciples' feet on the way to the cross. We love sometimes, but we love when everything is just right. But when we get under pressure, we say, stay out of my way. I'm in a bad mood today. God's given me some tribulation and I'm going to tribulate. And we excuse ourselves. Well, friend, if everything is going right, what do you have? I mean, so what? Even the pagans can love that way. Your character that cannot stand up under pressure and under testing is not real. Unsaved people can love when everything is lovely. If you want to know what you're full of, and we've often said it, just see what spills out when you get jostled. His love was an unconditional love. He loved them to the end. You want to know who your real friends are? Make a mistake. These disciples were bundles of mistakes, misunderstanding, failure, disappointment. He kept on loving them. We all have friends who get on board when the ship is sailing smoothly and the wind is blowing, but you let the ship get in rough water, rough sailing, they abandon ship. There are others, though, like the Lord Jesus, who will stay on board. It is steadfast love. He loves unto the end. He will never stop loving you, friend. And if you want to love as Jesus loves, you'll never stop loving. There was a boy who had abused his parents, misused his parents, absolutely ruined his parents. And the father kept on loving and loving and loving and loving that boy. Finally, somebody said to that father, I'll tell you what. Tell you what I'd do with that boy if he were my boy. And he gave some advice, and the sum total of that advice was just to forget him. And you know what that father said? He said, I agree with you. I would do the same thing if he were your boy, but he's not your boy, he's my boy. He's my son. And my love will follow him to the end. That's really the love of the Lord Jesus, even greater. When my father and my mother cast me off, then will the Lord take me up. That love is selfless love, it is steadfast love, and I want to show you one other thing. It is serving love. Now the Lord Jesus, look in verses 4 and 5, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself, and after that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now our Lord doesn't just love in word only, but in deed and in truth. Love knows no job that's too lowly to do. Jesus washed even the feet of Judas. He met the greatest injury with service, and only love can do that. Jesus taught us to do good to those that despitefully use us. Didn't he teach that? Jesus did not practice what he preached what he practiced. Jesus did that kind of love. Love does not give people what they deserve. Love gives people what they need. And love is willing to serve at the lowest of tasks. You may feel that there's some service beneath you. Some of you businessmen may think you're too big a shot to change diapers. You can't see yourself doing that, can you? Maybe you could teach a big Bible class somewhere. Friend, let me tell you something. There is no task too menial for love to do. To work in the kitchen, to work in the nursery, to sort papers, to do whatever needs to be done. What motivates people to do that? Selfless love, steadfast love and serving love. And here is the Lord of glory, knowing that He came from God and went to God, the one who made the universes, that scooped out the seas, heaped up the mountains, flung out the sun, moon, and the stars. That one is washing feet, fishermen's feet. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We had more of that kind of love, we'd have more jobs being fulfilled, less people who think they do God a wild service when they come to church on Sunday morning. Think they're doing God a great favor to come sit soaking sour. But God says you're to serve, and the people who need service. Very quickly, one other mark of Jesus' love in this passage. It is sanctifying love. Look in verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Now he's washing feet. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. I feel like saying, Peter, you better let him wash your foot. You're about to put it in your mouth. You'll never wash my feet. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you're clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. What is the lesson here? Jesus is talking more than about physical dirt now. When he says, you're clean, but not all of you. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. Judas had never had a spiritual bath. He's not talking here about physical dirt, but spiritual defilement. And what he says to Peter, Peter, you've already had a bath. I don't need to wash your head. I don't need to wash your hands, just your feet. You're already saved. But you walk in a dirty world. And because you walk in a dirty world, your spiritual feet get defiled. And you need your spiritual feet washed. You don't need a bath all over. You've already been saved. Now, of course, Judas, he's never been saved. He's not clean at all. He's never had a bath. You've had a bath. You're saved. You're my child, but your feet still get dirty. What a wonderful teacher was the Lord Jesus. And Jesus is saying, now look, my love is sanctifying love. I am willing to forgive you. Peter said, I don't understand this. Jesus said, you will later, Peter. You will later. You'll understand it later. And when Peter cursed and swore and denied Christ, do you know what Jesus did for Peter spiritually? Just washed his feet, forgave him, restored him, renewed him, refreshed him. Jesus said, you'll understand what I'm talking about later on. And did Peter understand it? Indeed, he did. You see, what kind of love is the kind of love that Jesus has? Well, it's selfless love. It's steadfast love. It is serving love, but it is sanctifying love. That person who's done you wrong, they need you to wash their feet. Do you know what washing their feet is? Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. That's what he's saying. If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, then you ought to wash one another's feet. Do you think that the Lord Jesus, do you think that Jesus was putting on foot washing as a church ceremony? Do you think that's what he was doing? No. Like the Lord's Supper or baptism, is that what he was doing? No. When Jesus said, you're to wash one another's feet as I've washed your feet, all he's saying is this, look, if I am willing to show love to you when you have sinned against me and failed me and denied me, if I am willing to do that, then you ought to forgive one another. Is there anybody here who doesn't want to forgive somebody else? Is there anybody here who's carrying a grudge? Is there anybody here who's nursing a hurt? Is there anybody here who says, I will not forgive? Well, has Jesus washed your feet? Your Lord and Master? You say, they don't deserve it. Did Peter deserve it? Did you deserve it when Jesus forgave you? True love is sanctifying love. I want you to use your imagination. You got a good imagination? I want you to imagine Jesus Christ coming out that door, walking down those steps. I mean in a physical body. I want you to imagine Him coming out that door, and I want you to imagine Him without any garments except a towel around His waist. Can you see Him? Whatever your conception, whatever Jesus looks like, there He comes. I mean, in a body. This morning, right away, He's got our attention, right? I mean, it's the Lord of glory coming out that door. And He's wearing a towel. And He has in His hand a basin of water. Now, let's just imagine that He's walking through this congregation. You say, where is He going? Let's just imagine He puts His eyes on you and walks right up to you and stands in front of you with a basin in His hand, you and Jesus. And then suppose the Lord Jesus this morning were to walk right up to you and ask you this question. May I wash your feet? Oh, Lord, you want to wash my feet? We know now how Peter felt, wouldn't we? Oh, no, Lord, no, you can't wash my feet. And He says, if I don't wash your feet, I can't have anything to do with you. All right, Lord. You can wash my feet. And see the one who made the universe. He gets down on his knees, takes your shoe off, and begins to wash your feet. How would you feel if Jesus this moment were washing your feet? And then suppose He were to say to you, now will you do something for me? I'll do anything for you, Lord. Okay. Would you wash my feet? You say, well, Lord, gladly I'll wash your feet. Yes, I'll wash your feet, Lord. Those nail-pierced feet, those feet that trod the dusty shores of Galilee for me. Yes, Lord, I'll wash your feet. Let me have the basin. Yes, Lord, I'll wash your feet. Yes, Lord, yes, I will wash your feet. Sure you would. Now, that's all imagination, right? Now, let's just put all imagination aside. I ask you to imagine that Jesus was here this morning. Now, friend, forget your imagination. Jesus is here today. Okay? He is here. He is here. Didn't He say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them? Didn't He say that? Didn't He say that? Is Jesus here today? Answer. Yes. He is here. So no imagination. He is here. Does Jesus want to wash your feet today? He does. He does. He does want to forgive you. He does want to restore you. He does want to refresh you. He does. He does. He does. Will you let Him? Will you let Him cleanse you? Will you let Him forgive you? Will you let Him restore you? Will you let Him refresh you? He wants to. He loves you that much. Now, all imagination aside, will you wash His feet? Well, you say, I can't do that. Well, yes, you can. How? Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Find somebody that needs that love and give it to them. Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me, because the church is His body, is it not? We're members one of another. And when you forgive me, and when you restore me, and when you renew me, and when you refresh me, you're doing it as unto Jesus Christ, because I'm a part of His body. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I've loved you." You say, "Well, I'm too important." Let me tell you something, dear friend. There's something you'll never do, and that's look down on somebody while you're washing their feet. Amen. You're not going to look down on anybody when you're washing their feet. And it's only a big man, only a big woman, big in the grace of God, knowing that they've come from God, knowing that they're going to God, knowing who they are, who says, "God has accepted me. I accept that He accepts me. I accept me. Now I accept you, and now you can accept me." And rather than letting pride drive those wedges, love builds those bridges. "A new commandment I've given unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you." That's how to love as Jesus loved. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I have preached to my own heart today. And help me, Lord, not to give to people what I think they deserve, but what they need, and that is love. And help us, Lord, to love one another. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
If you would like to learn more about how you can know Jesus or deepen your relationship with Him, simply click the Discover Jesus link on our website, lwf.org. For a copy of this message or additional resources, visit our online store at lwf.org or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you.